This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon, covering all kinds of topics of interest to the Umpqua Valley. And today we're talking about healthy forests, and specifically communities for healthy forests. And Melissa Cribbins is the executive director of that organization, joining us on the phone. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
We are getting wet here in the Umpqua Valley, and I suppose that's likely the same case where you are as well.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, we have to listen to the weathermen say we need rain, which, of course, we do. But it always seems to happen right before a holiday weekend, right?
Yeah, it's interesting how that works. Well, we could talk about weather, but we probably should save that for another show. Let's talk about the work of the organization that you oversee. I guess when you talk about Communities for Healthy Forests, maybe at the front end, give us a definition of what you feel like, what defines a healthy forest?
That's a great question. So Communities for Healthy Forests actually was started in 2004 by a group out of Douglas County citizens that were concerned about feeling like federal forests were not being managed in a way that was keeping the forests healthy and keeping them resilient to fire. And so since then, we have spent the last 19 years advocating for and trying to educate both our citizens, but also policymakers, on the need for responsible forest management to create healthy and fire-resilient forests.
So the organization's been around for a while. Kind of a quick overview of the organization in general and what kinds of things it works on.
Yeah. So the organization is very grassroots. It consists of, you know, your neighbors and citizens in Douglas County who have seen the need for more education and more active federal forest management. And they have devoted their time and their energy to trying to make that happen. We focus a lot on education, both at, you know, the adult level, you know, talking to policymakers, talking to your state and federal legislators, but also on doing things like getting kids back out in the forest, planting trees. And when they do, really talking to them about what they're doing, right? They're not just planting a tree, they're changing the future. And I will say, as somebody that grew up in this area, it's really amazing for kids to be able to go back later and see the trees they planted. Of course, they're not going to be able to find their exact tree, but I don't know how many people I've talked to who say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, we planted trees over there, or we planted trees over there, and then to be able to see the trees 20, 30 years later and realize that this is a future that they helped create is really, it means a lot to people. And it also brings home that issue of, you know, this is how we responsibly manage forests. Right. When a tree is cut, when a tree burns down, we get in there and we replant it and we help create the future. We also work a lot with FFA, Future Farmers of America, on that forestry education piece of what FFA does. And we focus on that and we support that and we help them put on their statewide forestry competition.
Now, when you talk about the education piece, that's interesting as well. When we had the Archie Creek fire in 2020, a lot of the work that had been done up in the Hinkle Creek area, pretty much all of that burned, according to my understanding, and talking to folks that have been up there, that kind of brings into the whole issue of the wildfires that have been going on over the last few years. That one in particular, especially destructive.
Exactly. It really is. And I think when we see fires like that so close to home, we should all pay attention to every wildfire that happens. But most of us only have so much bandwidth. And when fires, destructive fires like Archie Creek, happen so close to home, it really brings into our heart and mind the importance of responsible forest management. of trying to fire harden these for us, meaning, you know, doing things and making the changes. So even when wildfires start, they don't reach the catastrophic destructive level that the Archie Creek fire reached.
And now for folks going up the North Umpqua, you see a varying response. Here we are 3 years later now, just about only a few days from that mark. In what was cleaned up, how different parcels of land were dealt with after that destructive fire, and it all seems to depend on what level of government or private enterprise owned that property.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, when you drive up there, as you just mentioned, you can tell the difference between what the different ownerships are on that property. And we understand that, you know, employees of the BLM and the Forest Service are hamstrung on what they can do. It's not up to them to decide whether or not, you know, certain trees can be cut. That is from federal forest policy and generations of litigation. This is not something that, you know, at the local level, we're saying needs to change. This is something that has to change at the federal level and at the policy level, unfortunately.
And do you feel like after going through something like Archie Creek that more sides of this whole equation are maybe more interested in thinning some of these lands and also cleaning up more aggressively after the fires take place?
I think if we can get people out there and show them the actual effects, it makes people much more likely to agree that a solution is needed and that some of that is, you know, post-fire logging and getting those dead trees off the landscape. And some of it is, you know, pre-fire thinning and replanting and getting rid of brush. Unfortunately, when people don't, and I hate to say people have to see it with their own eyes to believe it, because that shouldn't be. You should be able to discuss it with somebody and understand it. But I really find that for a lot of people, they have to actually see it with their own eyes and to understand how big the problem is.
Why not?
And the shame. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say in a couple of recent conversations we had with Senator Wyden and Senators Merkley, both of them talked about more of the thinning. The question mark, of course, is getting it into legislation or getting it into policy changes at that federal level.
It really is. And, you know, even though our senators have been happy to talk to us and take a look, they just can't do it on their own. So that's why, you know, that education piece is so important. We need to make sure that Oregon is having its voice heard, that these rural areas, you know, are having discussions in places where these changes can be made, because it's not enough for us to just talk to Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, even though they both have been in the Senate for a while and are, you know, respected voices. We need to make sure that we are doing the education that's necessary for people to see that, frankly, once a tree is burned and it dies, it doesn't come back to life. It just sits there and rots. And when you want to talk about things like recreation and habitat, dead and dying trees are not good for recreation. They are not good for habitat. They don't provide food for wildlife. They really just prevent the forest from recovering and moving forward.
And there are also catastrophic weather events like the snow event we had here a few years ago. And in fact, in the Tyee Ridge complex that's currently being fought right now, I'm told that some of the property up there, of course, a lot of trees came down due to the snow and all of that. And there's a lot of tree debris that is still there in some areas, at least, that has made the effort of dealing with this particular complex of fires even a bit more difficult.
That is such a good point. You know, when that ice storm happened, there were a lot of trees down along the road and on the road, of course, and on the power lines. And they came in and that got cleaned up, but the rest of those fuels really didn't get removed. And so what they do is they just create more fuel load when a fire does start. It's not any different than, you know, when you're trying to start a fire in your wood stove, right? If you have dry wood, it tends to start a fire better than wet green wood does.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more with Melissa Cribbins in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It's Inside Douglas County, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue at 4 o'clock. Inside Douglas County tomorrow, we begin over a two-week-long series, Back to School. We talk to the new principal at Roseburg High School, David Vickery, who ironically is a Roseburg High School graduate, coming back now to lead the school. He'll be in studio on tomorrow's program. Melissa Cribbins is the Executive Director of Communities for a Healthy Forest, talking about that organization. I'm curious, we've talked a lot about different levels of government and things that your organization has advocated for. How much do you work with other groups that are private groups, much like yours, on the issue of healthy forests?
Oh, we always reach out to other groups and talk to them. There's a lot of groups in both in Oregon and in the Pacific Northwest that are engaged in advocating for responsible forest management. I think the part that sets us a little bit apart is we also try to focus on kids and what we can do to help kids get out in the forest. Because really, you know, between cuts to schools and changes in how safe we feel just letting our kids go out, kids have gotten out of the woods in the last, you know, 30 or 40 years. It's funny, we talk about it at my house sometimes because my dad would say, you know, when I was a kid, I would get on my bike and I would be gone all day and nobody paid any attention to where I was at as long as I was home for dinner. And that is, you know, pretty much the theme of anybody that grew up in a certain generation in rural areas. And it's just something that we don't do anymore with our kids. So kids aren't exploring the woods and, you know, figuring out what's going on out there and, you know, what there is to do. So we really make an effort to get kids back out in the woods, to talk to them and to show them how a forest works and how it's managed, and just to really get their hands a little dirty. And so that we do that. Like I said, we also help with FFA, and a lot of other groups don't. But we actively work with other groups in, you know, Douglas County and at the state level and, you know, even in the Pacific Northwest level on this discussion about advocating for responsible forest management, because our voices are stronger when we're all together.
Do you really feel like your cause might get pushed forward even more to have the incoming or upcoming generation of young people be studying this issue more?
I think so. I mean, this is the next generation of leaders that we're raising, right? So we have to make sure that they have all the tools that they need in order to make good, solid policy decisions. There's no telling what the kids of today are going to be tomorrow. And that's a spot where I think we are well spent to invest our time and our resources, giving kids that knowledge and that experience so they can make good decisions and not just believe what other people tell them.
It's kind of ironic, given the location for Roseburg and the Umpqua Valley and all the tourists that go up to the North Umpqua for a variety of reasons, including Crater Lake and fishing and hiking and other things, that sometimes educators tell me that they do field trips. Maybe they go to Crater Lake or some other location, and they're always surprised how many kids who have grown up around the Umpqua Valley have essentially never been east of Glide, and this is all new to them.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Like I said, I grew up in Coos County in Coquille, and I still remember when I was in high school, we were on a bus going on a sports trip and passed across the county line, and one of the girls said, "This is the first time I've ever left Coos County." And so, you know, we just assume that everybody is doing all these things with their kids and getting them out there. But some parents are really just doing all they can to get by. So if we can help, if we can, you know, add to that part of education, you know, so much the better.
Your organization, you mentioned, has been around for about 20 years now. How is it kind of put together and governed?
We have an executive board, and we have me, of course, and an education director, a forestry director, a treasurer, and we have a broader group of people that just come to our meetings. And so we get together once a month for our, you know, for our bigger meeting. And we usually have a guest speaker come and talk to us about something, you know, a topic that is relevant to forest management. And we get updates from everybody. So we're just, we are always looking for new members for anybody who's interested. And we are a friendly group that has a diverse array of experiences and training and jobs, and we are a space where people can come and talk about forest management, and we're accepting of, you know, different points of view.
Do you meet in one particular place, or does that kind of move around the region?
Right now, we are meeting in Roseburg on the first. I'm having to pull up my calendar, the first Tuesday of the month. But it has moved around. You know, we like to have a space that's publicly available. We're at the Delray Cafe right now.
And what about your work with county commissioners in this region? Talk about the relationship you have with them.
Okay. I'm actually a former county commissioner myself. Just finished my last term last November. And we work very closely with the county commissioners in the area. The county commissioners have been elected to represent the citizens of the area, and you know, nobody knows better than them how the citizens of our counties feel about forest management. In these counties, you know, Douglas, Josephine, Coos, Curry, Lane, you know, forestry is just so much a part of our economic vitality that we really want to work closely, and we do work closely with the county commissioners to ensure that, you know, we're supporting their policy goals and giving them information when we can, when it's helpful. And of course, you know, we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can, of course, to advocate for forestry and economic vitality in our areas.
As you look towards the future, are there particular projects or objectives you are looking at or hoping to achieve?
I think there's always, you know, we have the short-term and the long-term goals. I would say over the next 5 years, my real goal is to expand our advocacy and our education that we do. And, you know, that's the goal of the board, of course, too. This is something we discussed when I came on. I always worry that people don't have access to the good scientific background and information that they need. If we can make forestry interesting to people, if we can make it feel accessible and like something they can understand, then we're doing our job. We had a booth at the Douglas County Fair for exactly that reason. And, you know, when you see our booth, we have a lot of pictures and a lot of statistics to show people, you know, here's what an actively managed forest looks like. You know, here's what a non-actively managed forest looks like. Here's why this one is more resistant to fire, you know, all of that information. And so that's really what we want to do is get good information out to people so they feel like they have all the tools they need to discuss forestry, you know, even if they're just discussing it with their neighbor over the back fence.
What kind of reaction did you get to your booth this year and your interactions with folks?
Overwhelmingly positive. People are always interested in discussing forest policy, even if we don't 100% agree on it. I think whenever people are wanting to talk about fire and the dangers of fire and the impact it has on our daily lives, and especially the air quality, the ability to send your children outside to play, the ability to not have to worry about, you know, your elderly neighbors or your sister who has asthma. That's a topic that people want to engage in and discuss. We may disagree about how we get there, but we all agree that we should have clean, healthy air, and that forest management is a big part of fixing that problem.
If people want to find out more about your organization, talk about your website real quick as we close.
Yes. Our website is communitiesforhealthyforests.com, and we are also on Instagram and Facebook. We are easy to find. Just type us into Google and you'll find us. We also have an email address, which is info@communitiesforhealthyforests.com.
Melissa Cribbins, Executive Director of Communities for Healthy Forests, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.